What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I'm the host, Jeremy Jackson. We're doing the listener spotlight. So we already spoke with Israel this morning. We spoke with Robbie yesterday. Right now, we're talking with Mary Perez. She is in Alaska. So they're a couple hours behind. She had to wake up early just to be on the podcast. And I'm not very pleased with Mary. She sends me all these pictures on Twitter about how beautiful Alaska is, or these videos of caribou or whatever walking through practice. And I'm trying to work on my wife to see if we can move to Alaska and work there for a couple years, and then maybe move to Hawaii and visit Sam Lee and work there for a couple years, and then come back to, you know, the great state of Texas. But I'm not sure how much longer me and Mary are gonna be friends on Twitter if she keeps all that stuff up. So, without much further ado, Mary, let's tell us a little bit about yourself. How many years you've been an athletic trainer?
So I've been an athletic trainer for 6 years, and I am in Alaska now, and I started out in North Carolina.
All right, say that last part again.
I'm in Alaska now, but I started out in North Carolina. I moved here about 4 years ago.
All right, so then what drew you to Alaska?
I wanted to finish my master's. I was working in Division I school at the time, and I came up and worked over a summer at a summer camp with one of my certifieds from undergrad, and I really liked it, and I made some friends. And so then one of my friends who worked here was a coach, and his athletic trainer got in touch with me, and they kind of just created a job for me. And so I really liked it because I had my mornings off so I could do my classes, and then I went to work in the afternoon, and I've been here ever since.
Very cool. I noticed in when you're answering the questions, and I think you had mentioned you went to Mars Hill College, and that's where Caleb went, right?
Yeah. Caleb was in the class ahead of me.
So Caleb, a listener that is in China, is, not related, like family, but connected to Mary, an athletic trainer in Alaska. So we are quite covering the globe here. So.
Apparently.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about athletic training. How did you hear about it to start with, and then continue up to where you are right now?
So when I was in high school, we had a part-time athletic trainer. She worked mainly with football, but we saw her a little bit with some of the other sports. She was definitely a clinic outreach. So, like I said, she did mainly like football and a little bit of basketball, but I went to a really small school. So I kind of met her there, but I didn't really know a lot about it. We definitely didn't have like a student program or anything like that. So I graduated, went to community college. I was coaching at the time, swimming, and I had some players who were like cramping up in practice. And then I had another girl who had a pretty bad car accident. And so just kind of learning how to deal with those on the fly. As an 18-year-old. And so then I started kind of researching what I wanted to do after I finished my associate's degree. And I was like, well, sports medicine sounds kind of fun. So I just kind of got online and started like looking for some stuff, and found out about athletic training. And I looked for programs close to me, and I found Mars Hill. So they only accepted like 8 kids this semester. So it was a really small class. And it was pretty cool. So that's kind of how I got connected.
All right, so you said you were coaching swim. Is that like club sport or whatever at 18?
No, it was a high school sport. So, like I said, I went to a really small school, and so we had like a state championship swimmer on our team, and nobody was there to coach the team. And I'd been there for 4 years, and we had grown up together on our club team. And so the year after I graduated, our AD was like, hey, you want a job? And they gave me a faculty sponsor, and I started coaching both of our teams for like 3 years. And because we only had like 5 people on our team. And so by the time I was done, we had like 26 or so. But it was such a good experience.
Wow. So 18 years old, you're coaching high school. That's quite a story. And then that kind of led you to becoming an athletic trainer. So very interesting. All right, so continue on. You said your junior college, and then Mars Hill, and then what was after Mars Hill?
So I went to Mars Hill for I did my the junior college for 3 years. I graduated there. I went to Mars Hill, and so that program was about 3 years. And then, which I loved, all my classmates were like family. Like I said, we had a really small class, so we had probably about I started, I think, with 9 and ended up with 5, And so then after I finished there, I got an internship at Western Carolina University working football. And I was there for 2 years, and then I decided to come to Alaska.
All right. So very interesting story. Where is your family right now?
In North Carolina.
All right. So how often do they get to come visit you?
We try to do the, they come up here once a year. I go down there once a year. They live in a really beautiful part of North Carolina in Asheville. So I kind of get to go on vacation down there, and they get to come on vacation up here. So we've made it kind of twice a year thing for a while. And it's when you, Alaska's very flyer friendly, so you can pretty much get frequent flyer miles for just about anything up here. So flying becomes fairly easy once you, that's the only mode of transportation out that's of any time ease. So we make it work. It's pretty good.
All right. And you were, how long have you been married?
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Yeah. And is your husband from Alaska?
Yeah. So he's from here, and we met before I moved here, but I told him I would move here for him. So he found me a job. So he helped facilitate the relationship with my now boss, and all of his friends really liked me. So they got on board, and they're really big in the sports community up here. So put in some good words for me, and I'm still here. So that's pretty cool.
All right. A little bit more of your athletic training story. 6 years in the profession, what's the worst injury you've dealt with?
So I think the worst injury I've dealt with up here, I had a pretty good tib fib fracture a couple years ago that kind of came out of nowhere. It was kind of a non-contact tib fib, so that was kind of interesting. And then I would say outside of that, though, up here, especially the worst injury I've been dealing with are just head injuries. So a couple weekends ago, we had a really big wrestling tournament and lots of head injuries. They're so individualized, and people up here are still, you know, figuring out how to deal with all.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. I don't have any idea what happened. It just shut off. I just had this little white screen from Google. It said, "Aw, snap, something happened." So that distracted me a little bit. We were talking about, oh, you were talking about worst injuries. You've seen, so I'm not sure where we were, but I want to ask you about the non-contact tib fib fracture. How does that happen?
So he was a football player and had a, you know, the start of the play, and he just kind of stepped back, and it just went, and that's pretty much what happened. He didn't get tackled or anything like that. Just took a step back and landed on it funny, and that was that.
All right. Very interesting. You guys have to call 911 there?
Yeah, I did. So up here, we, for football games, we're pretty much, we do have a group of EMTs that are on site, but they cannot transport. So they were really great in helping me splint everything, but I'm pretty much the person there. So pretty much for things like that, because we do have a group of EMTs that can't transport on site, then things usually like that do get called 911. So the kid was really great about it. He didn't freak out or anything. So that was obviously really helpful. And he was telling me jokes by the end of it. So that's always a good sign.
All right. So you're talking about a lot of head injuries. Now, down here in Houston, we still have ER doctors that, you know, do the CAT scans that send them home with ibuprofen, and Houston is one of the leading medical centers in the nation. So when I remember talking to Chris, and it was just talking about how there's towns and villages that don't even have a doctor. So tell me a little bit more about dealing with a head injury there.
Okay, so anywhere in like Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, those big cities, you're pretty safe as far as having some sort of medical. I'm not saying they're really great at dealing with concussions. We're definitely working on it. It's definitely gotten better. My boss, Lynn Young, won the NATA Service Award this year, and she is very hands-on with a lot of the providers in town. So she does a lot of presentations to physicians, the ER docs, and things like that. We actually had a kid go into the ER to get evaluated for concussion last week, and the ER physician handed him information to contact his athletic trainer to get the return to play protocol. So we were all pretty proud of that. It definitely doesn't happen every time, but so in town, we can pretty much deal with it. Once you kind of get out into the more rural areas, a lot of like the 1A schools, even some of the 2A schools, in some of the small villages, they have village clinics that are run by RNs or PAs. And so then their nearest town is usually at least a plane ride or very, very long snow machine ride away. So all schools in Alaska, the Alaska State Athletic Association has developed a return to play protocol for every school. So every school has access to this protocol. How it's being utilized out in those areas, I'm not entirely sure because there's not really someone trained to take the coaches through it, but they at least have access to it. So in Anchorage, at least, we have – so where I work, we have 6 athletic trainers, and we cover all the state tournaments for ASA. And when these kids come into town, then and they, you know, sustain it here, then we always send them home with information of this is what needs to happen, which kind of is helpful. But it's definitely a long road to making things work kind of out in the smaller rural areas. But people are at least becoming more aware and better equipped to deal. One of my friends, who is a chiropractor and covers one of the teams out in this area, was traveling to Homer a few weeks ago, and you can drive there. It's like 5 hours. They had a kid who had a facial injury, and he watched one of the doctors out of the stands come out and, well, his eyes look good, so I think he's fine. No concussion, like right off the bat. And we kind of were discussing how, you know, there's a lot of work to do, but I think a lot of work has been done and is making it easier. So I think just the raise an awareness of things has really helped, and just being willing to open a discussion with people really helped too. So,
all right. Okay. So tell me some of the more memorable moments you've had as an athletic trainer.
Most of those I think will lie within Alaska for sure. I think just, some of the weather stuff and, like I said, the wildlife stuff is just crazy. I've been at football practice, and we have giant moose walk through our practice. There's a lot of fencing around usually where schools are, but they're pretty much in their habitat. So it's not uncommon for things like that to happen. I know, like, some cross-country, like, state championships we've had to redirect for wildlife on the trail and things like that, and it's always a fun day, and Alaskans are so used to it. The other day, I wish I had a link so I could send you this video, but they had this mama bear and her 2 cubs stop traffic in downtown just trying to cross the road, and it's like the coolest thing ever. So I think a lot of wildlife and the weather stuff is pretty crazy. Like I said, 3 years ago, my first year here, it snowed 8 inches the second last weekend of May, so that was kind of nutso. My boss was like, don't leave, it's never like this. So that was really fun, and I'm trying to remember my list.
Yeah, we never had wildlife. We maybe had ants. You had to reroute the cross-country trail or something, but I think we had dogs on the field once.
Nice. Yeah, I was at a baseball game once. This moose like walked back across the back, like all the way around the fence and back across the football field, and just kind of stood there and watched for a while, and then kind of made his way on. But yeah, usually for cross country, at least, and cross country ski, then they definitely have moose spotters on the trail and things like that. And every now and then you'll hear someone come across, be like, I think I saw a moose, and you know, it's in the middle of the race, and you're like, well, at least they're running fast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so we're still waiting for our first injury from that. Hopefully not anytime soon.
Yeah, hopefully not anytime too soon. Okay, so a lot of different experience. Tell me, what's a life lesson you have learned as an athletic trainer?
So as an athletic trainer, I would definitely say learning patience, and especially in a new area, athletic training can be, if you're working in an area that's established as an athletic trainer, you can really do a lot in taking it to the next level. And when you're working somewhere in Alaska and it's fairly new, when I first started here, finishing my fourth year, there was only three of us serving all the high schools in the area. And now we've grown to six where I work, another one at a different practice, and plus all the ones in Fairbanks. And then even the university's added a couple. So it's definitely growing, but you're still every day you're setting an example for what the profession of athletic training is up here. So learning a lot of patience and learning to take time for yourself, because you can really burn yourself out pretty quickly just trying to do everything at once. And it's really tempting to just kill yourself every day, go to work. And it's, I think for the first couple of years I worked here, we were covering everything. And it was definitely like an athlete training marathon, but we've definitely expanded. So it makes it easier for us to all take time off. And our boss is really great and encourages us to do that and all that. So I would definitely say taking time for yourself, because I think it's really hard as an athletic trainer for us to feel like that it's okay. And really at the end of the day, if I'm not happy with myself and I can't take care of myself, then my kids are really going to suffer in the end. So those are kind of the two bigger ones. I think I would also go in there that just being really confident in your decisions and things like that, especially when you're in a situation and parents are constantly questioning you, and you know, you really get pretty good at having all that latest research in your back pocket. And the administrators and things like that are always really helpful. So those are kind of the big ones I think I've learned, especially since being here.
Yeah. Yeah, a place like that, I would think it'd be difficult because you are trying to do everything because there is nothing. So you want to provide care for everybody. But if you're the only one there and then everybody's wanting you at everything they do, it'd be pretty tough. I mean, it's tough enough for me here, and there's two of us, and there's 11 of us for five high schools just in our district. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And so definitely important for you to take time there. And I know, again, seeing some of your pictures, the beauty of, you know, taking your dog for a walk at that mirror lake or reflection lake, whatever it was, and yep, overlooking those snow-capped mountains.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. And during the school year, we always have Sundays off, and that's kind of like our dedication day to go do stuff. So
yeah, very cool.
Okay. That's kind of cool because we have six athletic trainers covering seven high schools for everything, and then another three high schools for intermittent sports that we're kind of picking up here and there. So that's kind of an interesting ratio.
Yeah, but it's better than when you started.
Oh no, for sure. Yeah. And we're actually in the process of hiring some more people, so we're definitely still expanding and things like that, but it just kind of shows the difference, I think.
All right, so I'm going to have to work on my wife, see if I can get her to see you guys are hiring, come up there, live in Alaska. What do you think? All right. So tell me, who are three people you would like to thank and why?
So definitely my husband, because he's super understanding about the crazy work schedules that we have and the last-minute changes, especially in the springtime when there's snow and there's only one indoor facility for eight schools. Things tend to change quite a bit in the springtime. So we rarely ever get to plan anything in the spring, but just very understanding. He's a coach too. So when we go through basketball season, it's great because neither one of us are ever home. And then whenever he's home and I'm always at work, then he's always very understanding. So he's found his favorite sports that he likes to come hang out with me at sometimes. And stuff like that. We have date night in the training room like everyone else, so works out really great. And then I would definitely say my boss, Lynn. She's been a really great mentor, and I've learned so much from her, and she's always available for us when we have questions or are unsure. We can always call her up, and she's always there to help us out, so she's pretty great. And then I would definitely just say anyone else who's like kind of been there for me all along. I really appreciate all of my undergrad instructors and internship coworkers, and I definitely feel like I've learned something from everyone. Sometimes what not to do, but for the most part, things that I should do. So I think that's pretty much a lot of the people that I would be really thankful
Very cool. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, maybe to find out about a job, or maybe just to have you, you know, do a video call with their class about athletic training in Alaska, you know, you can show the do a Skype call while you're at the track shoveling snow or something, then how are they going to get a hold of you?
Probably my email, or you can find me on Twitter. I think, I'm not sure what my Twitter handle is, but I think it's Mary_Elaine8, something like that. But that or my email, MaryJPerez719@gmail.com.
All right, it's Mary_Elaine J. So MARY_ELAINEJ. So
perfect.
That'll work. All right, so if you want to get a hold of Mary, a listener to the Sports and Medicine broadcast in Alaska, find out some of the stuff that they're doing there, a lot of the changes they're innovating, and just the awesomeness of Alaska. I really look forward to, at some point, visiting and meeting you guys. So, Mary, thank you for listening to the Sports Medicine broadcast, and continuing the work out there.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so for Jeremy's Sports Medicine broadcast, that is a wrap.